successors with the 9th volume of the series. History is not much more than an enumeration of the crimes, follies, and misfortunes of mankind. Edward Gibbon, 1737 to 1794, British historian. Preface. The last few years have held many surprises for me. Without great expectations and out of genuine interest, I have collected a wide variety of crime cases from many countries and published them in books. All of them have become bestsellers in the true crime genre. Now, with True Crime Canada, you are holding the 9th book in the series in your hands. The unexpected success and the public response humble me to this day, partly because, looking back on my first 2 books, I would do a few things differently. I am very aware that this success would not have been possible without you, dear readers. That is why I dedicate this book to you. Thank you for your support, honest reviews, and feedback. I read every single one. Sincerely, your Adrian Langenschad. Without reverence for life, humanity has no future. Albert Schweitzer, 1875 to 1965, French-German physician and philosopher. Chapter 1. Release Her from Evil. The hands of his wristwatch are at 25 minutes past 11 on this October 24th, 1993. Despite the wintry temperatures, the sky is bright blue, and the sun stands high on the horizon. His wife Laura and the children would be back from the service in a few hours. It must be done by then. He must not lose any time. But had he thought things through carefully? If this actually worked, there would be no turning back. It would be over, once and for all. The longer the strong, broad-shouldered man with the round face, thick lips, blue eyes, and brown-gray hair stares at the spiral-shaped suction tube in his massive hand, the more the certainty solidifies in him. He is doing the right thing. He can no longer just stand by and watch her suffer. As if under the control of a stranger, he sticks one end of the hose deep into the exhaust pipe of his white and black 1982 GMC Sierra, which is parked in a garage near his house. He then climbs onto the back of the pickup and puts the other end of the hose through the sliding rear window into the interior of the car. For almost 2 weeks, he had racked his brain about how best to go about it. A drug overdose? A shot in the head? No. The arrangements would be too costly. In the end, he had opted for death by carbon monoxide intoxication. Easy, silent, and, as far as anyone could tell, painless. He jumps from the loading area and opens the driver's door. On the passenger seat is a mountain of old coats and a sleeping bag. The head of a child peeks out from underneath, a girl, it seems. She has wild, dark brown hair, a small snub nose, and crooked teeth. The child looks at the man with glassy silver eyes. Her open mouth forms into a smile. The man gently strokes the child's head and presses a kiss to her forehead. "Don't be afraid," he whispers to her. "Daddy is with you." Mechanically, he pushes the clutch through with his foot, reaches for the ignition key, and turns it to the right. The engine roars and the car shakes on its wheels. From now on, exhaust fumes incessantly pour into the interior of the pickup. He gets out, throws the door shut from the outside, and climbs onto the loading area again. There he settles down on an old tractor tire and watches the tangle through the rear window. Will it take long for death to come? Will it be over after just a few seconds, or will it be miserably long minutes? In any case, one thing is certain. If she were to suffer unbearable agony and utter pleading sounds, he would stop it immediately.